on Triple J.
Okay, guys, podcast meeting. Veronica.
Present.
Lewis. Present.
Murray. Present.
Ah, Reece Darby joined us in the studio. Hopefully you managed to catch it. It was one of the wildest bits of radio ever known to man. He finally was trying to settle this feud between Australia and New Zealand.
It's been brewing all week, ever since Barnaby Joyce found out that he may be a New Zealand citizen and may have to leave the parliament. Labor were very excited. Then Julie Bishop was very angry. Suspected collusion between the two nations, which frankly... We celebrate every year, so I don't know why it's such a big deal, Australia and New Zealand working together, but she seems pissed about it.
Well, Reece Darby is our saviour, the saviour we needed, which you will hear all about during the podcast. You're also going to hear from Dave from Gag of Yous. From New York City, staring across at the Brooklyn Bridge. It was all very poetic, wasn't it?
Everything just he does is poetic.
Like the album, yeah.
He would just get up in the morning and be like, Dave looks out the window, melancholy, a grey sky, stormy, rain like the tears of last night.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's put together such an incredible album, as well as all the guys from Gang of Youths. They're going to be touring. You'll hear all about how they're managing to put this second album of theirs up on stage live, which involves a lot of strings. See what you think. See if you can read between the lines about what he was saying was going to happen with the strings.
Hard to know whether he's cagey because he was just trying to leave it as a surprise or...
No idea.
No idea at all. Let's find out. But in news which is either sad or exciting or neither, this is going to be the last podcast we ever make.
Which is sad for me because I listen to it when I go to the gym. Love the sound of my own voice.
But me, never listen to it. I, like most of the world, I'm unaware of the Veronica and Lewis podcast. But basically the decision was made that it's 2017. We have a brand new hot website here at Triple J, which means instead of waiting till Friday to put out the stuff that we're happy with for the week, we'll just put it up straight away so that you can just go to our website, the program section, Veronica and Lewis, and listen to the good bits and just miss all the shit, all the music, trash, more talk, less music. That's what the people want. But, I mean, unless you actually would like the podcast to continue, I can't imagine that being the truth, but why don't you email our manager? Do you reckon?
Yes.
Wards.ollie@abc.net.au. Let him know.
Yeah, but otherwise, triplej.net.au is where you could go. The Veronica and Lewis page there. You can binge on the bits that you like from the end of the day. Well, marketing has ruined the word binge, hasn't it? I mean, it used
also,
to do with
less...
jovial topics like drinking and whatnot.
Treat this radio program like a bag of goon if you're a 16-year-old. Binge on it in a shed. That is Flight of the Conchords, Business Time. It made the Hottest 100 at number 19 in 2008, going back 9 years. And if you have seen Flight of the Conchords, you would know very well.
Wow.
Their manager, Murray, played by Reece Darby, who is starting shows in the country, doing stand-up, Mystic Timebird, all doing Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth, starting tomorrow at the Enmore Theatre in Sydney. And Reece joins you right now. And Reece, you know, you've been talking about Mystic Timebird, your many past lives as birds. If you've just tuned in, that won't make any more sense if you were here 10 minutes ago. But someone asked specifically on the topic of New Zealand birds, were you ever a kea or kea parrot?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
No.
It's good to know, though.
Yeah.
But you said that it was...
Good question, though. Good question.
That's right.
Young
All
caller.
The questions will be about birds.
From here on in.
No, because you mentioned, you know, the bird background was your skill for mimicry and making noises with your mouth.
Yes.
What's your number one mouth noise?
My number one mouth noise. That's a good question. I mean, I like the simple space door opening.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's fun to do.
Ooh,
that's good.
Just a sliding door. Just, you know, I mean, there's certainly harder ones to do. There's interesting ones, but that's a sneaky favourite.
Yeah, see, I noticed this on your Wikipedia page when I was snooping around that earlier, but I didn't think
you were snooping
was...
around there.
Yeah,
I had a little alarm go off on my phone.
Do you have a mouth noise, Ron?
Well, the only one I can think of is the. Really gross, fappy one.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's
do
bad news.
On the radio. But, yeah, I guess I can't. I just do accents generally on demand, but New Zealand accent is my weakest point.
It's the hardest one to
do. Oh, it's the hardest, isn't it?
When you're Australian, because it's so close but so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Although Elizabeth Moss kind of nails it on Top of the Lake. Or is she supposed to be Australian?
Does she, though?
Yeah.
Ooh, controversial.
This is controversial. Mm. This has been brought up in a lot of reviews about whether she nails that or not.
Yeah.
You say no.
As a Kiwi, I felt she was, you know, she wasn't quite getting it.
I feel like they tried to cover that up by making her character a New Zealander who'd spent a lot of time in Australia.
It was murky.
So that you never really could put your finger on where she was supposed to be from?
Yeah. It's going back quite far now to when that show was on when I saw it, and I don't remember her actually being a Kiwi in it. So therefore, I think that was a fail.
Mm.
Well, you've been doing a lot of stuff, TV, well, movies really, actually. Some TV, Wrecked, like the Survivor parody sitcom in the States, but also you've been doing Jumanji, which you've shot. It's going to be coming to cinemas soon. Who's Nigel, the character you play?
Well, he is a explorer. He's a an outdoor sort of adventure type. And you can imagine, I don't know whether you've seen, there's this tiny bit of me in the clip of one of the trailers. So he kind of looks quite dashing. He drives a Land Rover, and that's all I'm willing to tell you at the moment.
Mm. Okay. He's not in camo. It's not a little bit of Hunt for the Wilder People style character.
No. He's more of a cool guy. Have you heard of that game? What is it? No, let's just move on.
Oh, give us a clue of what it could possibly have been.
It's a video game on the PS4. I can't remember the name. No, it's kind of like, the character's Nathan Drake anyway.
Okay.
It's like a first-person adventure game. I can't think of the name of it. It's like, starts with O, if we can get some callers.
I'm sure it'll happen
it's
soon
like
enough.
Outsized or Outreached or...
Not Uncharted.
Yes, Uncharted. It's not an O, it's a U. That's why I couldn't think of it. See, my brain. I mean, honestly.
All right.
This is why you come to Australia and all your vowels get put backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Your I's become E's, your U's become O's. It's a mystery. It is a shame. It is good that you're here in a time of rife between our two nations. It's always nice just to hear.
I wonder if it means something, yeah.
Yeah.
I really should look up this news that you're talking about.
Well, because you were just saying then off air, we were like, man, Barnaby Joyce, you know, New Zealander, and there's been and now our and Julie Bishop has been saying that she might not be able to work with the New Zealand government, and you were like, oh, this isn't news in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I would beg to differ. Because I was just watching this news clip from a New Zealand television show earlier today.
Yes, this afternoon, Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop said she'd find it hard to work with New Zealand if a certain party made it into government. That sounds like a serious threat until you realise that for the past few years, the Aussies have already been treating us basically like dirt.
How heavy was that?
Is that true to you, from your perspective? You reckon we treat you like dirt?
That's Jesse Mulligan, yeah. Mm. He likes to cause a bit of strife.
Right.
You know? Oh, he's treating us like dirt? I mean, look, I haven't been living in New Zealand. I've been living in LA. I don't think there's any of that going on. I mean, I think we've always been... Look, if this is gonna cause a rift in our ANZAC relationship...
Well, I'm hoping it won't.
Then, you know, maybe I'm here at the right time because I'm the saviour, guys.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that's going to link us together. You know, have you seen the latest Spider-Man? I'm like Spider-Man when he's between that that fairy that splits in two, and he pulls them both together. That's me.
You're
Except
the web.
I'm more of a sort of a pterodactyl creature with giant wings. Who's lived many lives. And you guys are like, oh, come on, pull us together there, mate. Come on. And the Kiwi's like, yeah, come on, please pull us together. And I'm in the middle going, I've got you guys. Come on, remember what we used to be. The ANZACs.
What, the biscuit?
No, the fighting force. We are stronger together. I don't know what that animal was, one of your weird ones.
It was a bird.
Yeah, there's a snake there. Get rid of your snakes. We have to get rid of some of your animals that hurt us.
Oh, wow. So many mouth noises. Well, what a journey.
Well, we're going down.
Whoa, that one was good.
Help me.
Oh.
That's
what? It's a long way to Tipperary. Come on, let's get out of the sea. Whoa. Ride the whale! Everyone ride the whale!
Yeah. G'day, wow. Mate.
Reese, if your show was just like an hour of you making that bubble noise.
It's still going.
We are together. This is our moment. Remember that? It was from the 1991 Commonwealth Games.
No.
This is your moment. We are together. Stronger together, yeah.
Reece Darby is going to be doing Mystic Time Bird tomorrow in Sydney at the Enmore Theatre, Brisbane at City Hall, Melbourne Comedy Theatre in Adelaide, and Perth at the Astor Theatre. Thank you so much for coming by, Reece.
No worries.
It was an absolute pleasure to have you here.
I love Australia.
On Triple J, you're with Veronica and Lewis.
Patience from the Greats, Preg. Fun fact. Due in the same day.
Exact same day?
Yeah, so did it at the same time. Aww. It's pretty weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Except I've seen Patience a bunch of times and much bigger than me, so interesting. But one thing that is I have started to notice, and particularly because on holidays, you know, the belly was out a bit more in a bikini and whatnot, I'm transitioning to popping to an Audi.
Oh, your
belly button wise, yeah.
Oh, will you be an Audi forever? So Does that happen?
No. It pops back in again.
Oh, but a temp Audi.
Devastating to have a temp Audi.
Why?
I'd like to Facebook Live the actual moment that it pops though.
I hope it makes a little noise.
But it is weird, isn't it? That
it's really weird.
For a time, I will be the one discriminated against as someone that's has.
Are Audis discriminated against?
Yeah, everyone hates them.
That's not true. You just hate them. You're just body shaming Audis.
No, because also you've got a belly button, which is
it's more of a flatty. Yeah, I'm an in between guy. Yeah. I'm mixed button.
Not ideal, is it? Yours?
But I think it's fine. It's almost like I don't have one. It's like I'm evolved. You know.
Clearly, on the innie and outie debate scale, everybody's going innie.
Are they?
This is well known.
I guess I've never had this debate before. I've never really talked buttons before. But I think it's good. It's like you're walking a mile in someone else's button. You know, you'll know what it's like.
That's exactly right. Temporarily, thank goodness. And then I'll go
back. I've never heard someone so vehemently destroy the Audi. I'm learning a really dark side of you.
Perhaps it's just in my family, but oh, yeah.
Whole family.
You don't want them.
That's horrible.
On Triple J, it's parcels. Overnight. On Triple J, you're with Veronica and Lewis, and overnight it can happen. Your innie turns into an Audi.
I'm shocked, first of all, by the news that you've dropped on me that you're going to go from an innie to an Audi.
Transition temp into an Audi.
And then pop back in once your baby comes out.
Yeah, well.
But also, there's been a secret war brewing, and I didn't even know it was happening.
I definitely knew. The innie population hates the outie population. You wouldn't know because you're in
between. I'm a flatty. As a flatty, we never got brought into the war.
Someone did say, what if your baby has an outie? That is a worry I had never contemplated, because I guess you just have to hover around as it's happening, making sure.
It'll be that thing where people will go, is it a boy or a girl? And you go, we don't care as long as it's healthy and has an innie.
Yeah, Georgie from Werribee. Which side are you on?
Definitely innie. Everyone with an innie knows that outies are weird.
Oh, I feel really sad for the outies.
It's not their fault.
No, it's not. Yeah. And a lot of people, here's the thing. Here, back at you, Georgie. Dan says, I have a crevasse. It's about an inch deep. I'm very skinny and gross shit gets stuck in there all the time. And someone else has said, outies are cleaner.
I can agree and say I do get a little bit of fluff in the innie, how do you get an outie pierce?
It would be easier. Yeah. It's sticking right out.
But you go straight through the nub.
That is potentially gross. Someone says my dad was an outie and he was definitely the outcast of the family. Alyssa from Newcastle, what side are you on?
I'm half and half.
Oh, we're the mediators.
Yes, we are.
how can you can make yours go in or out?
Yeah, so you look at it and it's kind of an outie, but if you were to touch it, it's a little bit squishy. So when I suck my stomach in, it actually sucks in.
Oh, so you could go in disguise. If you ever went to an Audi conference, you could just be like,
huh! Yeah, and I pretend to be one of them.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, and what about you, Ash from Tassie? You're switched recently.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I had a surgery that was around near my belly button and had an Audi. And when they did the surgery, they woke up from having surgery and they changed it on me.
No.
Yeah.
And definitely. How do you feel?
Not too good. Not too good. Have an identical twin and we had a matching belly button and now it's completely different.
Wow.
No way.
Sue.
Has it changed the way you, like, because when you look down, does it, you know, do you think differently about yourself?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, it's full linen now. Oh. I'm on it.
Huh. It's almost like someone else, I guess, an out-of-body experience.
It is.
Right.
Well, the text line is...
I'm shocked about the passion.
Yeah, the passion of the innies towards the outies. I'm sorry if you are one, but if you'd like to get surgery to switch it up...
Apparently that's possible. Let's not encourage that. One of the best days at Triple J when you get to announce the winner of Unearthed High. It's one of the most exciting competitions that we do here. The competition every year, it gets better and better and better. And this year, Nina Jirachi, Stevie Jean, Taj Ralph and Side also were the finalists. And you could listen to any of them and be like, well, why didn't they win? And it would be a reasonable question because they're all incredible. But the winner this year was Arno Faraji from Shenton College in Perth. And earlier this morning, Ben and Liam snuck into the assembly at Shenton College, and there was this big video up on screen, Ben and Liam saying that they were going to make an announcement to whoever it was going to be, and then the whole thing started to glitch.
Yeah, it started to glitch, and then the principal was like, oh, I don't know what's... And then all of a sudden, Ben and Liam appear.
Hey, Principal Hill, I reckon we can help you out, mate. Arno, get up here. Arno Faraji, you've won Triple J's Unearthed High 2017!
And Arno Faraji joins you in the studio. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
How are you feeling right now?
I'm so ecstatic. Like, I don't know if you guys can hear my heart, but it's beeping so hard right now.
Yeah. Tell us about your day so far. Did you have any inkling that it was going to happen?
No inkling at all. Like, I was late to school. Like that's how much I didn't think I was going to win, right? So I go to the assembly, and then all of a sudden they're like, we're going to have a whole year assembly. We'll invite the whole year into the thing, right? And the screen starts glitching halfway through the announcement. I'm like, oh, no. Like, what's happening? And then out of nowhere, like nowhere at all, Ben and Liam come through the back and they're like, oh, you won. And like, I did a full lap around the whole thing. It's crazy.
So did a lot of, like, were a lot of your other friends at school talking about today as a big day or?
Today's been amazing. Like, yeah, the whole school basically has been around it and, like, supporting me. It's amazing.
And in terms of the songs, how have you been working on those in music class or anything like that, or has that been just a totally independent?
Independent stuff, just by myself.
Oh, so your teachers can't claim any credit for any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you were giving shout-outs to all your music classes. In fact, your list of shout-outs was impressive. It really went on for quite a long time.
Thank you.
So tell us about some of your big influences, people that you really admire in the industry.
I look up to so many people, like Kate Chinata, Remy, Sensible J, Sample the Great, TK Miser. Like, all these people are just, like, people who have influenced my music in some way. And especially Remy and Sample the Great and TK, like, they've shown me that you can make a lot of different sounds in hip-hop, especially in Australia. And it's like a really open field where anybody can dominate. Like, it's amazing.
Well, we actually have a pretty exciting thing that we want to tell you about to do with one of the names that you just mentioned there in a sec.
On Triple J, that is Destinies from Arno Faraji. He is your Unearthed High winner for 2017. Just found out this morning. He joins you in the studio right now. How is it listening to your song on the radio, Arno?
It's so different. Like, the vibes are crazy right now. It's just amazing.
What's happening for you tonight? Are you going to have a celebration dinner with your family or something?
Oh, I'm going to stuff my face so hard today. Like, anything right now. I don't know. Hungry Jack's, McDonald's. I'm coming for you. I'm going for everything.
Have you spoken to your family since you won?
Yeah, I talked to my dad, and I think he was an apple, but he just started yelling, like, yeah, that's it. And it was crazy. Yeah, I talked to my sisters as well, and they were like, running down the street. So
nice.
Super cool.
Well, it's amazing. Over 1,000 songs uploaded for Unearthed High this year. Yours picked out of a really strong group of finalists, Nina Jirachi, Stevie Jean, Taj, Ralph and Syed, who were all extraordinary. And, you know, now you're in an alumni, including people like Greta Ray, Mosquito Coast, Japanese Wallpaper, Asta and Stonefield. Such talented people. But one of the big parts of the prize of Unearthed High, as you would know, Arno, every year, is that you get flown to Triple J to record a song with the Triple J live music team or music production team. But we wanted to make you maybe a slightly different offer this year. How does that sound?
Oh, it sounds interesting. I'm very keen.
Potentially. Yeah. He's like, oh, it sounds interesting. I'll see what the offer is.
I don't know what it is yet, so yeah. I can't say yes.
You were mentioning before that you had some people that you loved, in particular in the Australian scene. You mentioned the House of Beige production house, Remy.
Yes.
And Sensible J.
Yes.
We've got a little message here from Sensible J.
What's up, Triple J? This is Sensible J. I just wanted to give a quick shout-out and congratulations to Arno for winning the Triple J Unearthed High contest. Salute, my bro. You are super talented on the beats and the rhymes, man. If you're ever in Melbourne, hit us up. Swing our house of Asian. Let's make some music, bro.
What?
How would you feel if we flew you to Triple J and you made some music with Remy and Sensible J?
That would be... I don't even know what to... That is amazing. What the heck? Oh, my goodness. Like, I'm standing up right now, like in the studio room. That would be so amazing. What?
Yeah. So we'll definitely fly you to Melbourne, to Triple J. Remy and Sensible J, very keen to work with you on some music there.
My goodness.
I mean, you've probably got to get through year 12 first, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I mean, you've got holidays coming up.
Yeah.
The pre-exam period. Yeah, sure.
Well, Arno Faraji, it's a real pleasure to announce you as the winner. It's been a delight. Congratulations again. Enjoy
Thank
stuffing
you so much.
Your face today. And if you want to check him out, make sure you head to Triple J on Earth. Arno, A-R-N-O, Faraji, F-R-F-A-R-A-J-I. Check him out. Leave a review. Arno Faraji, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And there's an interesting study out. I love when I say study in a headline, I'm straight onto it. Clickbait for me. It was about pubic grooming, which of course is another bit of...
Area of passion for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Two stories, pubic grooming.
Yes.
Music theatre.
I was wondering, are you going to go with the third one? And if it's a combination of all of those things, what a wonderful time to be alive. So it was about how commonplace pubic grooming is now, which vary, apparently. 76% of adults quizzed have either removed some or all of their pubic hair.
The other 24% lying?
Probably, yeah. And anyway, men and women. The focus of this study, right, was about the injuries. So many injuries have been sustained, mostly by women. 27% of women who have done it have like cuts and burns and hair removal cream issues.
Oh, like the wrong cream burning type issues?
Leave it on too long, that kind of vibe. Oof. I've never used that before, but it looks bad in movies.
I mean, there's no good options. You've got a cream that might burn or you get in with some sort of blade. Either way, it's very edgy area.
Or wax.
Ah, yeah, of course.
That's the other one. Mm. But the thing that wasn't the focus of the article but really got my attention was it was talking about who does the grooming at one point, and it said 9% of those that are groomed by their partner. Also, a small percent said a friend did the job. Isn't that weird?
9%. Like, a partner is... It's not necessarily a process that you want your partner to be involved with.
No,
more
end
the
result. Yeah, end result.
You
happy
don't want
to see that.
See them bake the birthday cake. Just pull it out of the oven.
That's not disgusting, but it sounded like it could be.
I think it was actually a pretty good analogy.
Yeah, sure. But imagine the conversation where you're asking a friend if they could get involved in that.
Well,
particularly girl to boy, it's a different scenario.
But either way, because I've heard you and other women tell me the stories about waxing, and I don't think necessarily all guys really know how, like, not just painful.
That maybe you're on all fours at one point.
The all fours part
on a table
shocks me every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, on all...
It's not talked about often.
It's not, because it's quite a... you're really in a very vulnerable position. And so the idea of having a friend go, okay, now just whop on all fours, thanks, V. What am I going to do after this?
Okay,
cup of tea?
Just move your hands and here and there.
In a guy situation, like either guy to guy or girl to guy trim situation, you're holding it up and going underneath into the undercarriage. That's a personal situation. And enough people coming through on the text line to suggest that, I mean, 10%, who knows if that's true, but definitely plenty of people very comfortable with the idea of them or their partner getting involved in that area. Rob from Footscray, your girlfriend shaves your pubes.
I wouldn't say she shaves them on a regular basis, but it has happened before.
And what was the conversation? Was it your instigation or hers?
It was her instigation. So we were just hanging out in the bathroom and she mentioned that I could use a bit of a cut.
Mm-hmm. And the trim back and sides?
Yeah. So she curiously asked if she could and we gave it a go. It was a bit of a laugh.
Yeah. And
would you recommend do again?
I wouldn't say there was anything wrong with it.
What's a score out of 10 in terms of just the general enjoyment level?
That's a hard question. I'd probably give it a solid 7.
Okay. Good enough.
What about you? Your girlfriend gives you a Brazilian wax.
Yes, I do. I have, my girlfriend does. As weird as it sounds, but you get over it.
Girlfriend as in friend or?
As in a friend, yes.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, she's a beauty therapist or was a beauty therapist, so it's a lot cheaper.
Well, that's, that's different. That's their profession, I guess. They'd be very desensitized to the whole thing, even if you're very sensitive.
Well, as I said, you've seen one, seen them all. So, and they've got one themselves, so why not? Yeah. It saves a lot of money.
I guess.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you do love saving money, Ron.
Yeah, but I don't know that I'd feel comfortable going to a friend. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I want to just walk away from there knowing that I'll never see the person mostly, I think. Nikki from Canberra, your partner helps you out in this department?
Yeah, so he shaves his initials into my... Yeah, just as a bit of fun.
That's incredible. Is there any curves? Does he have an S in there or is it all just sharp lines? An L or
a B. So there's a bit of curve, a straight line.
That's incredible.
He's really marking his territory a little bit.
Wow, I wouldn't even know how to begin to shave initials into pubes. With like a razor?
You got to get really close to it.
I am so intrigued by that, Nikki.
Danny in Melbourne says, my pubes come up in conversation over dinner for my grandma's birthday last night. It was really gross. I imagine it probably was. Huh, how uncomfortable. That is Fear and Trembling on Triple J from Gang of Youth's second album, Go Farther in Lightness. It's our feature album. It's another dense, excellent, emotional, sort of intense and long album, 16 tracks. Frontman Dave joins you right now. How are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Where are you at the moment, Dave?
I'm in back in New York City. I've been living here on the DL with my female life partner and our dog. So I spent the day at the pool today and that was fun.
So you've got your dog there, but I hear that you're moving to London. Is that right?
I mean, I've been sort of like meandering between the two. I was in London for maybe 6 weeks, but I've been in New York here, you know, a little bit longer just because of, you know, romance and life stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah. I imagine putting this album together has, taken you away from dog and life partner for a while, so it's probably you owed some time. But that track we just played, Dave, Fear and Trembling, it's very stripped back. Starts off just you and, you know, a piano initially. Is that
it's my ham-fisted tribute to Thunder Road, which is, you know, very thinly veiled, I think.
There's a few tributes to the on the album, which we're going to get to in a bit. But why Thunder Road? Why did that take you?
I'm Born to Run. I mean, there's 8 tracks that so distinctly and beautifully compartmentalize the experience of being, you know, in your late 20s in rundown New Jersey in the 70s. And I wanted to highlight the impact of that first track. There's no better opening track for any record lyrically or musically than Thunder Road. Everything that I believe about good songwriting is there encased in the song. And it was like a way for me to sort of recalibrate Gang of Youth's new Go Farther in Lightness period and contrast it with our sort of more Springsteen-oriented influence stuff prior to that. I'm pretty obsessive about opening tracks. I have like a penchant for, you know, trying to make the first one the biggest and brightest.
Huh. Do most of your songs start out with just a piano line and you go from there?
Not necessarily. I mean, that was kind of where this record led for some subconscious reason, I think. I'm trying to steer myself away from being just overly and singularly guitar driven. At this stage in my life, there's more adventure and trying to experiment with a whole bunch of different, you know, layers upon layers upon layers within indie rock, rather than just resorting to straight up guitar and feedback and that kind of thing. You know, we went through that stage pretty early on in our career, and I think, I don't know, there's just something poignant about beginning a track with something like a piano or something like, you know, the strings or whatever.
Yeah, let's talk about the strings, because they pop up a lot on the album. What's your background?
Yeah. My dad loves classical music. He's a classically trained opera singer. And having grown up in that environment, so deeply entrenched within the sonic landscape of classical music, everyone from Vivaldi to Puccini to Mozart to Massenet, I wanted to sort of subtly tribute my father in that way, but also tribute my heroes, Steve Reich, Philip Glass. Arranging strings is one of my secret passions that I wanted to not keep a secret anymore. And I just felt like, in terms of like the record's flow, in terms of like the currency of the record, as in like the chronology, sorry, it felt like a good way to section off parts of the record, because like lyrically and musically, I was so meticulous about it that the strings sort of serve as their own pieces, but also reference various other pieces throughout the album.
Yeah, if you've been listening to the album all this week and enjoying it, you should definitely listen to it from start to finish, because it's a really interesting progression from these epic sort of original 7-minute tracks from Gang of Youths. But then there's sort of fun things like L'Imaginaire, which is a cover, pretty fun cover of Guns N' Roses.
Oh, you ruined it. You told everyone.
I don't know. I think the secret was out, Dave.
Yeah, maybe. It's really interesting seeing people's faces when they hear that track, and then the rest of the time I spend with them, then trying to pick it and figure out what is so familiar about it. There's just kind of all sorts of things. There's a reference to a Clash lyric. There's a whole bunch of, you know, little small things. A lot of references to philosophers and psychoanalysts that I admire, writers that I care about. A lot of references to my dad, past Gang of Youth songs.
Weirdly, we have played the first track, Fear and Trembling, and the final track of the album, Say Yes to Life. You were saying the first track is a real thing for you. What about the final one? Is that like your placement
Absolutely,
of it?
Absolutely, yeah. It sort of always needs to feel, the final track always needs to feel like the end of a story without ending the story, if that makes sense. It needs to feel like it leads the record to a satisfying conclusion.
Yeah, well, it's interesting hearing the intros to your songs and hearing you talk about it now. They, you know, each song really seems to hold a very dear place to you.
I think that any song that we release needs to, in some way, speak to the heart of what we're about, what I'm about. Because if it doesn't, there's no point, you know. There's a part of me that still longs to be accepted and embraced and be considered cool. And then there's a whole other part of me that actually just wants to say what I have to say before the good Lord takes me. So I think I'm still running around with that tension. I don't know, I just want to ensure that every song has in some way some important esoteric or cathartic function to me.
Yeah, well, it's interesting hearing you say that, you know, each song needs to have a thing to say, because, you know, your first album came from a place that you talked about a lot at the time. It had a you know, really strong narrative in a moment. But it sounded like the songwriting didn't come as easy for you initially this time. Was it harder to find the things to say that you wanted to talk about this time?
It was hard because I wasn't looking in the right places. I felt like I needed so much trauma, so much unnecessary stuff that served its purpose once, and, you know, and I just had to look in the right places, you know. I had to recognize that perhaps I might be enough to make this valuable without all the lamenting ephemera, without all the cancer stuff. Mm. I just had to look inside myself and pull it out, and it sucked, but it happened, and then lo and behold, a record that I don't hate came out of it.
And it happened pretty quickly for you, did it?
Over the course of 2 years, I had like a year's worth of writer's block after Magnolia came out, because I sort of went through this stage of thinking that everything I would do would never matter. I would never matter. And I needed to do something more meaningful in my life. And then I was stumbling across the Brooklyn Bridge, which I can sort of see right now. Hmm. And I gazed out at the very same skyline I'm looking at right now, and I sort of had this nice moment of realizing that all the fears inside of me are okay, and that vulnerability is okay. And we're all experiencing these, you know, these crises of faith daily. And so I wrote The Deeper Sides of Frank of Shadows out of that moment. And, you know, it took a while for the juices to get flowing, but I'm not very good at what I do, but I try really fucking hard. So.
That is so stupid. You just said that. You're ridiculously good at what you do. And actually, you're going to be heading out on tour. You're in New York, as you're saying, right now. But from the 31st of August, you're going to be in Brisbane. Two shows in Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, Hobart, Adelaide, and Frio. So what's going to happen with these Strings tracks live?
I don't know. I guess people are just going to have to wait and see.
Oh, okay.
One of those things, it might be completely disappointing, the lead up, but I don't know.
Do you play like a stringed instrument, or is it just the arranging?
No, I don't. I taught myself to arrange. I'm like a bit obsessive. If I like something or I mean something, I just get a bit obsessed with it. I suppose it's part of the psychosis of having ADHD or whatever. But yeah, I get very obsessed. So I over the course of 10 years, I've taught myself how to arrange. I listen to a lot of, you know, like I said, the minimalist guys, Lamont Young, John Adams, Steve Reich, Phil Glass. And that's kind of how I acquired the knowledge to do it properly.
Yeah, actually, I mean, before we do let you go, particularly the start of this Achilles Come Down, very Philip Glassy and very enjoyable. Yeah.
If anyone wants to know, I'm referencing a Philip Glass piece, actually. If anyone's interested, there's a film that I love about Yukio Mishima, who's a Japanese writer. And there's a movie called Machine or Life in 4 chapters, and Philip Glass composed the soundtrack. He composed the score to that, and the very, very final piece is called Mishima Closing. You know, I'm sort of subtly referencing that, along with some other Baroque, you know, Bach era pieces. But if anyone's interested, Mishima Closing is one of my favorite pieces of music.
I watched that on a date once. It was really intense.
Holy shit, that's a really hectic movie.
True story.
Wow. Actually, my girlfriend and I, the first book we ever read together, actually the night we met, I was reading a Mishima book, The Sailor Who Fell from Grace of the Sea, and we both read it together that first week we were dating. And I don't recommend it. If you want to be happy, but I do recommend it if you want to think.
Okay.
Good to keep that in mind. Dave, always a pleasure. Congrats again. Go Father Enlightenness. We're going to be featuring it for the rest of the week on Triple J, and you'll be able to catch them when they start off their tour at the end of August. Enjoy the rest of your time in New York and London and the
Thanks,
dog.
Guys. And I miss you guys. Bye.
We love you. Talk to you soon.
It's time.
Textual.
It's great to have Jess Perkins back. G'day,
hey.
Jess.
Hey, guys. Welcome home.
You've actually been here for the last 2 weeks, but we've been away. So it feels like you've been gone as well. It's in my heart.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. No, healing doesn't get a holiday, you know?
Yeah, you were with that Punisher bloody Dylan Alcott. I just saw online that he's won another award.
Oh, come on.
That guy. Some sort of minister's award for being excellent or something.
Oh, what a jerk.
Cool it, Alcott.
Come on, mate.
Every week he comes in with the sports news. It's just like, yeah, I won again. another award for Dill. Yeah. Guess what I won this year? Now I'm the Prime Minister. And so vote for me, vote for Dylan.
He's very
Dylan's going to save the world, I reckon.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Did you guys save a couple of people from sticky situations over the last few weeks?
Are you asking if I still have 100% success rate?
Yes, you bet. I bet I am.
Yes, I do. My favourite was a guy named Bradley who was struggling to meet, he'd moved to a new town, was struggling to make friends, and another Bradley called was like, I'll be your friend.
Yes.
Double connected Bradley. The Bradleys. That's so good.
I was actually having a chat with a new housemate that I have last night, and she did that thing where she was like, oh, I know a guy called Lewis. I reckon you guys would get along. I was like, that's a crazy theory. I don't have any other Lewis friends. In fact, if I meet one, I actively discourage them from liking me.
So what do you got? What have you been searching through the text line and discovering?
Okay, this one's a fun one. It takes me back to my university days. Annabelle has texted and said, I have an issue with a guy in my tutorial at uni who keeps tagging me in memes. They aren't funny, and he's not stopping despite my refusal to acknowledge them. Please help.
Wow. Oh, is this like his attempt at like pulling your hair when you're 3?
Maybe. Well, oh, great point. Like, where is the meme tagging coming from?
It's coming from a childish love, I would imagine.
The character motivation. Yeah.
You're with Veronica and Lewis, and you're also joined by Jess Perkins for a little
textual.
If you've never been around for some textual healing before, Jess Perkins, unlicensed, untrained, but full of passion for text therapy. Trawls through the Triple J text line looking for problems and then tries to solve ones that the rest of us don't have time to. And you've come up with a real doozy this week.
Yeah, Annabelle is having an issue with a guy in one of her uni shoots who keeps tagging her in memes that aren't funny, and he won't stop even though she has refused to acknowledge them. It's a modern day problem.
Mm. You know? Annabelle, what do you reckon is the motivation behind this tagger?
Hi, yeah, I'm really not sure. Like, we've spoken once, and he just tags me in memes like the tag someone so they can unlock their phone to see these kind of memes.
They're not funny.
No, not the one. If you're begging for a tag, not never tag, you know? It's what they want.
No. Good point, Lewis. Yeah.
So what's the relationship between you two otherwise? Flirty or?
No. Literally, like, he's been in my tutorial for, like, the semester, so 3 weeks. Mm. And I found out his name just because, like, we got put in a group together. And so he added me on Facebook. And then ever since then, like 2-3 times a day, every day, it's just memes.
Well, can you just describe one of those memes? Like, what's the worst?
So the bad ones are all the student problem page memes. Like, all of them I get tagged in. And then the, like, tag someone so they can unlock their phone to see a picture of a potato tag someone so they can see this rabbit or just stuff like that.
I mean,
it just doesn't stop.
I love being tagged in a good meme, but these ones are shocking.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than a good meme.
Yeah, and also like tagging someone in a photo when they look a little bit like them, but it's slightly off. That happens to Lewis.
That happens to me constantly.
Yeah.
I reckon I would get tagged in Dave from Chromio's Instagram at least every 3 days. if you've ever seen him before, tall, lanky man with a slightly sideways jaw and glasses. So
comedy gold.
All right, Jess Perkins, what are you thinking as options?
Okay, well, my options here, Annabelle, I think, number one, what you do is fight fire with fire and you get to tag him in some really bad memes so that he gives up on you, you know? But, like, if they have to be offensive, so be it, because he obviously has terrible taste in memes as it is, so he'd probably find it funny. You might have to go to a dark place.
Could
and
be
I don't
uni
know
lad.
How you feel about that. Yeah, ugh. Or you could, number two, I think you could give each meme a rating out of 10. Don't say anything else. You know how, like, if he's tagged you, you can just comment on his comment and just give it, like, a 1 out of 10. Don't say anything else, and I think eventually...
It's pretty good.
Eventually, that's going to crush his soul.
Yeah.
Number three, put on some glasses and a fake mustache and create a new persona. And forget all about Annabelle. And his new uni friend, Esteban, that's you, is so cool and off the grid that he doesn't even have social media to be tagged in.
All right. And like gender swap as well. I think that's right.
I'm inclusive.
Yeah. I mean, okay, option one, fight fire with fire, tag him in shit memes. Option two, give each meme a rating out of 10, just inexplicably. And option three, disguise yourself as a completely different person from here on in.
I mean, the third one is dramatic but exciting. Let us know what you think. 0439757555. Let's all hold hands and help Annabelle together. If you're just joining us, it is time for some textual healing, a little text therapy. Jess Perkins has found Annabelle from Warringah, who has a guy in her uni shoot who keeps tagging her in shit memes, barely knows him, thinks they're not funny, and refuses to acknowledge them. Jess, you've come up with three pretty tantalizing propositions.
I said, tag him in some even worse memes, fight fire with fire, or give each meme a rating out of 10. Or number three, which I've written down a quote from you, Lewis, which was number three is dramatic but exciting. I've written that down. Put on some glasses and a fake mustache and create a new identity, and that's who you are now.
Yeah, there's a couple of people on the text line who are liking the constant throwbacks to Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah. It's different.
Jace
isn't it?
Has pointed out that you have a real theme, which is often involving a fake identity and a costume.
During that song, I was looking through my notebook here and I was like, this has come up a few times.
If you ever go missing, I'll notice, look for you in a mustache.
I'm Hannah from the Gold Coast. What should Annabelle do, do you reckon?
Yeah, hey guys. I reckon she should combine options one and two, but send him actually decently funny meme and then rate his, like, 1 out of 10.
Oh, kill him with kindness, but then
it's a nice
knife
thought.
Him.
I reckon it might just encourage more chat, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people suspecting, you know, he's definitely very keen. Someone says talk about memes in class, but call them memes. He'll soon stop.
Someone else says she could try finding or making a meme that says, tag that person who constantly tags you in bad memes.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
That, I think, is coming through as maybe the number one response. But Jack from Bondi, what do you reckon Annabelle should do?
Yeah, she should go with the rating, but it'll just be like ones and twos, so that's savage. So that'll wear him down. And then you can also make your own memes, so take a sneaky photo of him and just make some bad memes and put them in the comment reply.
Oh, that's
very
too,
bullying tattoo.
Yeah, I reckon we're straight into official bullying there.
But good-natured version? Okay, I tried.
I reckon if we're going through, unfortunately, once more, Jess, create a new identity is coming in last. But
interesting.
We'll get there 1 week. A lot of reviews, but most people are going with your first option, tag him back in memes, but have specifically said that those memes should be the person who constantly tags you in bad memes memes.
Yeah, yeah.
Annabelle?
It's like it's a nice but kind of mean way. No, like it's a very clear way.
Yeah, but it's keeping it in the same theme. It's relatively jovial.
Annabelle, what do you reckon?
See, I like the idea of tagging him in memes that are bad memes, but I mean, if I come across one, I'll find him. Honestly, the rating is probably my go-to one now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Constant ones or twos.
But also if you combine it with a cheeky winky face.
No, don't you want to discourage this flirting? Don't you know what the winky face means?
That's flirting.
Yeah,
it's been a while for you, hasn't it?
That's encouraging him to like try harder next time, and we want him to stop.
Okay. Well, I mean, no winky face and just meanness. Annabelle, I'm afraid. Well, good luck to you. All the best.
Thanks. Cheers.
Well done again, Jess. Still got it.
Still got it, baby.
You're with Veronica and Lewis, back with you after a little holiday, feeling good, feeling fresh. Ron, quite tanned. Me, just a touch.
Yeah, well, I was in Hawaii and did a lot of listening to the radio, actually, so for the 2 weeks that we were there.
I love listening to the, I mean, maybe that's a boring thing to say, I love listening to the radio either in regional areas or in other countries.
Yeah, for sure. So especially like we were spending a lot of time in a hire car, so constantly just flicking between the stations. And the accent in Hawaii, I didn't really know that it was so funny. Like it's basically like the Minnesota kind of accent, like Fargo type thing, where they talk like this and they say, welcome to paradise when you arrive.
Very polite.
Yeah, very polite. But also they say like kind of passive aggressive things, but say mahalo at the end, which is like, thank you.
Right.
So anyway, like, aloha, could just come over here. Would you like some shaved ice? Give it a try. Pretty much everyone sounds like that. So we loved listening to this one particular radio station in Kauai, which was called Island FM, Today's Hawaiian Hits.
And, what are today's Hawaiian hits? Is it all just ukulele stuff?
Oh, no. I mean, it's actually just Vance Joy was on there quite a lot.
Yeah, ukulele.
Yeah, for sure. That's why they're into him. I hadn't put that together.
Loves the uke. Sure. And he's very polite.
So anyway, one thing that they did, which was pretty funny, was that they always specified how much a prize was worth. And it was very much like not much. So it was like, you can win a family ticket worth $13 to the local fete. Give us a call right now. Why not give it a try?
They did not say give it a try. Why not?
But they also had this thing where they wished like a birthday message three times a day to someone on the island. So you obviously like dobbed in a friend.
It's like Saturday Disney.
They would be like, and a happy birthday today to Simon Waimea. The conch and everything.
What is that? A horn from a cruise ship?
Yeah, it's a shell horn. And so they did this three times a day. It's basically radio for one. And then they'll be like, if you see Simon around, make sure you say happy birthday to him. Give it a try. And then the other thing they did, which was fabulous, was a traffic report, which is so ridiculous.
There's no traffic on that island.
There's no traffic on Kauai. It's the tiniest island. But they did a traffic report. And there was basically no traffic.
And no, still nothing.
Oh, there's nothing, but send in any of the traffic reports. Why not give it a try? Anyway.
It's Veronica and Lewis. Triple J.